And welcome to The Bible Biker. Your host today is none other than Pastor Tom Hughes. He is a biker who teaches God's Word. Today, we're going to use the Bible as our textbook, our only rule of faith and practice. And now sit back and relax as we share some of our Celtic Christian music with you today.
This is Pastor Tom, the Bible Biker. Thank you for tuning in. The last time we talked about my testimony and how God delivered me and saved my soul. That was a difficult night, and it's one I'm not proud of, but I'm glad that God accepts us just the way we are. And I love telling you about the great things that God has done for me. I've ridden my Harley across 49 states, and I've ridden a Harley in all 50 states. When I went to Hawaii, I couldn't drive it across the ocean, so I just rented one on Oahu, and we drove over every road we could find, and we had a blast. I'll tell you about that road trip sometime. But I wanted to mention the fact that back in 2003, I headed north to Alaska from West Virginia and went up through Minnesota and then up into Canada and across the Great Plains of Canada, up through the Yukon, into Alaska. We rode for 700 miles a day for 7 days. My wife rode with me. We didn't even have a cell phone. But we did have the Holy Spirit, and God was with us throughout the whole trip. I've been fortunate enough to witness to bikers in all 50 states, to share Christ and be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ in all 50 states. And it's important to me wherever I go, whether I stop at a gas station or we stop at a restaurant, I always try to witness to someone and leave them a track. God has given me the gift of evangelism. And I pastor two churches in the local area, and I enjoy ministering to people. I enjoy doing God's work. And one of the things that I like about God calling me to be a pastor, even though I'm most unworthy of all men to be a pastor, is that I get to share my Savior with people who need to hear about a loving God who accepts you just the way you are and who's willing to help you live your life in a successful and happy way. I found that Jesus is the only one that can bring true joy into your heart. So off across the Alaskan plains we went, and on the seventh day, after 700 miles a day, we reached Alaska. And I wish I could say on the seventh day I rested, but it was really on the eighth day that I rested. When I got to Alaska, the very first day, we decided to head up to the Arctic Circle. Now, it's over 200 miles of unpaved road called the Dalton Highway, and we drove our motorcycle up to the Arctic Circle, and we took some pictures there. You can see them on my website, BibleBiker.com. On page 2 of the website, you can see a nice picture of us there at the Arctic Circle. And we came back, started heading back, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Of course, it doesn't get dark. We were there in July, and so it was just kind of twilight. And we had a flat tire. And it was so funny. My wife, I told her, well, let's just park the bike and put the tent up and we can jump in it and get up in the morning. She said, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to walk. And I said, well, we're 100 miles from anywhere. I said, we're in the middle of the Arctic wilderness. She says, well, I don't want to sleep. I just want to walk. And there were mosquitoes in Alaska that were so big they could pick you up and throw you. And so my wife had the helmet on and her biker jacket, and she pulled a bandana up over her face so the mosquitoes wouldn't get her. And she got a big brush branch and started swishing them away, you know. And so we must have walked for quite a while, you know, maybe an hour. And I said, are you sure you don't want to put up the tent? And she said no. And I think the Holy Spirit was really moving her to do this. And up comes a van and another vehicle. And in the van just goes by, but the other vehicle stops. And then the van stopped too. And they rolled down their window a crack and asked us what we were doing. And I told them that we were stuck. But they were afraid to roll their window down because Debbie had her handkerchief up over her face, and she looked like a robber. And I kept saying, would you please pull your bandana down so they can see who you are? And I pulled out my ID, and I told them I was a pastor, and I told them, you know, all this stuff. And the sister who was in the van, she was very upset. She put her head out the window and said, don't you dare pick those people up. And when they did open the door so we could get a ride, after much begging and pleading, The sister just took off because she was mad. She was upset that they would be so foolish. Well, they were heading back to the trading post, which is up near the Arctic Circle, which is over 100 miles away and took us about 3 hours to get there. So during that time, heading all the way back to where we had just come from, I witnessed to these two Athabascan Indians and talked to them about God. And they said, our mother died a couple months ago, and we've been wondering where she is now. And we've been praying to the Great Spirit for God to send someone to tell us where our mother is. And I said to them, the Great Spirit is the Creator God, and the Bible calls him Jesus Christ. He is the Great Spirit who created all things. And she said, oh, that's what you call him. And I said, yes. And the Great Spirit is sent from God. The Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, and he impresses you to cry out to God. And when you cried out to him for him to send someone, he sent me to see you. And over the next 3 hours, I had the privilege of telling them about how Jesus loved them. And he came and lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross, and he said he would trade his life for their life. And if they would just accept him as their creator and their savior, he would save them. If their mother had a relationship with the Great Spirit, if the light that shined into her heart was Jesus Christ, and she cried out to him, that Jesus would be the one who would determine whether she would be in heaven or hell. And I told her I had no way of knowing that, but I was hopeful that the mother was a woman who cried out to God and who was true in heart and who accepted Jesus Christ, the light that shines unto every man. And I told her the whole plan of salvation. And by the end of the drive, I asked them if they would like to give their heart to this Jesus and to pray for this God to come into their heart. And they said they would. And so we did. And when we left them, their tribe was fishing on the banks of the Yukon River, and the tow truck came and picked us up, and we hugged them, and they cried, and they hugged us, and we gave them some information and said goodbye. And someday I hope to go up there and revisit that Yukon River village and maybe share Christ with them. That's a project I keep hidden in my heart that someday, you know, it may not be till I retire, but I'm going to go back to that place. And as I went back with the tow truck and they picked up my Harley, it was $623 just for the towing bill, all the way back to Fairbanks. See, we were 200 miles north of Fairbanks, Alaska. And so as we came back to Fairbanks, I luckily was a member of the Harley Rogue Club, and they paid the entire bill. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it was a joy to ride my motorcycle all the way up there and back. And I'll tell you other stories about that Alaskan trip and the time we ran the Pacific Coast Highway and when we rode in Hawaii and all the different road trips that we've done. But today I want to talk to you about the Bible. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:21 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but these holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is given to us by God, and it's good to build our doctrines and to correct ourselves and to instruct us in the way to live by using the Bible as our owner's manual. You know, bikers, when you have an owner's manual, it tells you what to do, how to take care of your bike. Well, the Bible is like God's owner's manual, and it tells us what to do and how to take care of our bodies, how to take care of our hearts, how to take care of our spiritual condition. And so we need to have something to be a guide for living our life, something that's true. You know, nowadays there's almost no role models anymore. People are sadly lost and going in the wrong direction oftentimes. Ministers, teachers, politicians, There's very few people that we can rely on. And I think the only true role model that you can ever have is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who is absolutely perfect and who will never let you down. It says in Psalm 119:160, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." God's word is true from the beginning to the end. You can build your life on it. And then in Psalms 12:6-7, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times." God has preserved his word through the centuries. The Bible is one of the most documented books that you will ever come across, far more than many of the other works of antiquity. And when I was in Israel, I've been to Israel four times, and when I was there, I was at a place called Qumran, where they have the Dead Sea Scroll. A little shepherd boy was out one day, and he was throwing stones, and he threw a rock, and it hit a glass jar, or a clay pot, you would call it today. A clay pot broke, and he heard it crack and break. And he climbed up there and he discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls contained at least something from every book of the Bible except the book of Esther. And it had several copies of the book of Isaiah. And it dated all the way back before Christ. And in that Dead Sea Scroll, as they compared it with the modern translation of the Bible we have today, there is very little difference. So you can be assured that the Bible Jesus had and used is the same Bible we have today, and you can have absolute confidence in it. It says in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So God's word is eternal. And in Romans 15:4, it says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." So when you study the Word of God, one of the purposes of it is to give you hope. If your life is hopeless and you feel like you have no direction and you don't know where to turn, even though you're a member of a hog chapter or maybe you've got a group you ride with, but there's still something missing, even though you love motorcycles and you polish that thing, It just doesn't give you the peace that you're really searching for. You just need a little more. You need some spiritual life in you. And you can get that by reading the scriptures and by talking to God as you would to a friend. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "The scriptures will make you wise." And what kind of wisdom? Let's read the verse. "From childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul was telling Timothy, his young protege, that he needed to study the scriptures because they were able to make him wise for what? For salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have faith in Jesus? Do you believe he died and rose again? In John 5:39, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me." He was saying to the Pharisees, who thought their religion would save them, he was saying to the Pharisees, "You study the Bible, but the Bible testifies about me, Jesus Christ. You need me. Let the scriptures point you to me, but I'm the one you need to accept." And that is true. We don't read the Bible just to read it, and we don't pray just to pray. We read the Bible to let God talk to us, and we pray so that we can talk to him. It's got to be a two-way conversation. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So you can study the scriptures, but you can do it in a way that doesn't lead to the truth. You have to pray before you read them and ask God to give you the interpretation. In John 16:13, it says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you and me into all truth. You don't have to worry. God has sent his Spirit to help you to interpret and understand the Bible. Just open the book of John. Read it 10 times if you have to. But God will give you the interpretation. You don't have to be some big Bible scholar. Just get down on your knees, Brother Biker, and get that book open. Start reading it. God doesn't care you're wearing leathers when you kneel at your bed. All he wants is your heart. In 2 Corinthians 2:13, it says, as we open our hearts to the Spirit's influence, something happens. Let's read the verse. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So God wants us to compare spiritual things with spiritual and to let the Holy Spirit guide us. Now in Isaiah 28, 9 and 10, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So we're to go throughout the Word of God and find the scriptures that talk about a subject and read all of them, not just pick and choose certain texts, but study what the Bible says about each subject. Study it in its context and don't take it out of its context. Now the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, in John 17, 17. The Word of God contains truth. And in John 7, 17, it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now that's a wonderful way to approach God's word and have an open mind. It says, if we will do his will, he will guide us. In Revelation 22, 18 to 20, it says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has given us his word to guide us, to educate us, to help us to know the way to walk in. And if we will study the Bible in context, and we'll take line upon line and precept upon precept, if we'll read the Bible honestly and openly, willing to do God's will, my friend, even if you're not a Bible scholar, even if you're not a preacher, even if you don't go to a church, even if you're unchurched, you've never been to a church, it doesn't matter. God can still talk to you. He can still speak to you. He can still help you when you open the Bible. If you're willing to do his will, he is willing to come into your heart and teach you the doctrine. If any man wants to know what God's will is, all you have to do is ask. And through the Holy Spirit, God will come into your heart and guide you and change you. To me, it's always exciting to think about the Bible and how it has changed my life. As I said in our last installment, Jesus has done great things for me. Just saving my soul, I was in such a darkness, so lost, no light, walking down the wrong road. But he came and rescued me and helped me to turn my bike around and head down the highway to heaven. We know where the other highway goes, and I'm not interested in going there. That is a place where everything will be lost and we'll have nothing. And I don't want to go there. When the Bible tells me that he will sanctify me through his truth, I believe when I read the Bible, God strengthens me mentally. He actually, through the Bible, strengthens my brain and helps me to become a better thinker. He actually converts my thoughts and helps my mind to begin to think the way he thinks. He washes my mind and cleanses me from all the unrighteousness and the sad, horrible things that go on in the world that only hurt and destroy people. And believe it or not, my fellow brothers in the Christian Motorcycle Association and Bikers for Christ and many of these other groups, we're motorcyclists. Some of us have been members of hardcore groups. Some of us have just been guys with a motorcycle. And by the way, I don't care what kind of motorcycle you ride. If you've got two wheels, I like it. Anything that has two wheels on, I don't care whether it's a Honda or Yamaha or Suzuki or a Harley like I ride, whatever you like to ride, that's fine. It doesn't matter to us. We try to support everybody and encourage everybody. But my brothers in the Christian Motorcycle Association have found that even more than our passion for motorcycles, we have a bond in our passion for God and the spiritual things that God does for us and the way He helps us to be happy and to have a really exceptional life. And we just have a blast. All the things we do, the places we go together. We were just at the Easy Rider Bike Show, and I may have met some of you there. Looking at all the really nice motorcycles and witnessing to some of the bikers and just sharing our experiences with them. And you know, the most important thing is, as CMA likes to say, one heart at a time, CMA is there to serve the biker and to help the biker meet his needs, whatever they may be. And even though I'm a member of CMA, CMA does not endorse this broadcast in any way, but I do like to advertise them on my website because I do love their ministry and I support them very much. As a member of CMA, I have met many people and helped many people to find Jesus Christ. And as you ride your bike for Jesus, or whether you're just a brother who's listening to this for the first time and you're thinking about opening your heart to Jesus Christ, may God bless you and keep you safe as you ride either with Him or for Him.
Thank you for listening to The Bible Biker. I hope we open the eyes of your heart so you can see the Lord high and lifted up in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. The Bible is our only textbook. If your heart has been touched in any way, please feel free to write us at 222 Wellington Place, Pataskla, Ohio, 43062. That's 222 Wellington Place, Pataskla, Ohio, 43062. If you want to learn more about us and more about God, and you like the music that you heard today, please feel free to visit our website, www.BibleBiker.com. And now, may God bless you and keep you. Until the next time, ride safe.